Well, once again this morning, we say hello and good morning to Dr. Nancy Nielsen. Hi there, Doctor.
Good morning, Jay.
Well, thanks very much for joining us this morning. More developments, as has been the case now for well over a year, in terms of COVID-19 vaccinations just continuing to expand. And now we see that vaccinations are going to be available for younger people starting very, very soon. And with that, of course, a whole new set of questions, not only from the younger people, but from the parents who are going to need to approve these vaccines for their children. What about that? Obviously, there will be concerns. Maybe you've already heard some of them. How do you address them?
Well, I am concerned about some of the surveys that show so many parents, about a third of parents, are not interested in getting their kids vaccinated. That's really, really unfortunate. This Pfizer vaccine, which is the one that has just been approved for 12 to 15-year-olds, uses a technology that's been developed over several decades, and it has been used in trials of vaccines of other outbreaks like Ebola and MERS and SARS. Those vaccines never came to market because the outbreaks just, you know, naturally petered out. But the technology is well-tested. And some of the things that you hear about infertility, altering one's DNA, that is not even remotely biologically possible because the messenger RNA, which is the technology used here, doesn't enter the nucleus and it just isn't possible. My big concern is these anti-vax sites. At best, they're uninformed. Some of them are deliberately deceptive, and that's been shown to be true. And frankly, they're dangerous because they're encouraging people to remain vulnerable. And that just doesn't make sense. So I would say to any parent, this is the same vaccine, the same dose that's been given to 100. There have been 170 million doses of this vaccine that have been administered in the U.S. without any serious problems. So please, let's get our kids back to school.
Now, where is the Pfizer vaccine going to be available in the area?
Well, it's interesting. Remember that Pfizer is the one that requires the ultra-cold storage. So the usual doctor's office is not going to have it at this point, although there's a caveat to that that I'll come back to in a second. But where you can get it right now is the MassVac sites at UB and in Niagara Falls and the county health departments. And this week, Walgreens in multiple locations has Pfizer. New York may decide whether or not pharmacies can immunize the young kids. And so you're going to see those are the places where you could get it right now. Going forward, at least in Erie County, Dr. Burstein has said that she will store the vaccine for the pediatricians and they can come get it as they need it. The reason for that is Pfizer comes in packets of 1,170 doses. There's no pediatrician that can use that up within 2 weeks. So she will. She has offered to be the storage place, and that's a tremendous help in our area.
Yes, very good. Obviously, pediatricians are going to be a key to helping this effort continue to move forward. We do see that COVID vaccine numbers, the vaccinations, are slipping. That's something we've talked about a little bit. But so are infections. I think I saw what New York City earlier this week, less than 2% infection rate. So what is happening? How do you weigh this all out here? Is it the weather changing? Is it because more people are vaccinated and so many people have actually had the virus? Put this into perspective for us.
Well, I think the weather is a factor. People are spending more time outside, and we know that virus transmission goes way down, especially in the summer. But the biggest issue is probably the immunizations, the number of people who are immune, either because they got vaccinated or they got infected. Now, we used to be able to add those two numbers together to see how we were getting toward herd immunity. You can't do that anymore because it's recommended that people who've had the infection also get vaccinated because their immunity goes up about tenfold. So we don't know the exact number now. But there is no question that it's immunization that's making the impact. Just look at nursing homes. It's a stunning plummeting of the cases. We also know that people, frankly, are not being more careful. And that's a risk. It's a risk particularly where there's a high level of community spread. Luckily, our community spread is down now. And I got to tell you, getting the kids back to school and immunized is a big, big deal. Think about it this way. If you have a football player who is vaccinated but gets exposed to somebody who has the infection, that football player doesn't have to quarantine. If almost all the guys on the football team are immunized, they can still play their game because they don't have to quarantine. And if you're if it's a kid in a class, if somebody is vaccinated and somebody else becomes infected, you don't have to send the whole class into quarantine. This is the key. So I really think that the immunization is the issue.
And we most certainly see that college students, at least those students who are going to SUNY campuses this fall or CUNY campuses also, they're going to be required to get vaccinated. And I most certainly did raise some eyebrows. And the question is, you know, can they actually do that? Is that legal?
Well, it is, interestingly. And this goes back to a situation in 1901 where there was a smallpox outbreak in Boston. And the state tried to require smallpox vaccination, and it was taken to the Supreme Court. And it was decided that the 10th Amendment permits states to require vaccination. And we're used to this now in K-12 schools. But only a handful of states require colleges and universities to demand immunization, but many do on their own. So here's the interesting fact, and you heard the governor talk about this, maybe a little after the fact, frankly, but immunizations can only be required if that vaccine is fully licensed. None of the COVID vaccines are currently in that category. They've received emergency use authorization. But Pfizer last week submitted a request for full approval, and I suspect the FDA will give it by late summer. So a lot of colleges, it's well over 200 now across the country, have announced they're going to require COVID immunization. And frankly, I hope we will stop arguing about who can mandate what and what our rights are as individuals. What we ought to be doing is encouraging everyone of all ages to protect themselves by getting vaccinated, because that's how we're going to end this pandemic and contain this virus, which is going to be with us for quite some time.
Both good news and some ominous news there as well. Dr. Nancy Nielsen, as always, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Jay.